Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Praise Band. That, just great songs that go along with what we're going to be talking about today. And just it's wonderful when that happens. I like it when you smile and you're like, yeah, this is good. All right. Well, it's interesting to be up here. This is was not expected a few months ago, but it is truly a privilege to be up here and to be with you, to be part of this church, and just so grateful to God for leading us here. And we'll get into that a little bit. I don't want to jump too much, but it is really neat to see how God has been working. And I know he's been working in this church, and he's been working on Kate and I, and here we are. So if you would, you can open up to Psalm 25. We're going to be looking at that. I have a few things that we're going to cover before we get there, just because they're important. I think it's part of just understanding who God is. And so we'll get to that in a moment. But I do want to thank, and I appreciate this church. And really from the first time that we came, so we came here probably for the first time, I think it was the end of January, February. And so we've had an opportunity to get to know you. And that truly has meant a lot. And so I thank you on behalf of Kate and I. And just some of the things that I've noticed as you heard the horde go, there are a lot of kids, and it's great. That is one of the things that when we came, we saw that. We're like, oh, this is good. This is really good. Because there are churches you go to and there's no kids. But that's important because that's the next generation. They're the ones who come after us. Another thing that was exciting, and I thought the baptisms were exciting. That was neat to see 12 people get baptized, teens, some kids, an adult, and just, it's so good. That's good. It's part of being a healthy church. I just appreciate the friendliness of you. And again, welcoming us here, even though we were from New Jersey. And I don't have my Yankee hat on, but I know. Some Phillies fans, maybe some Yankees fans, you never know. All right, we have one. Good, all right, good. So Paul, good. Good to know there's at least one. Also, I just appreciate hearing Pastor Pete's heart for you guys. I didn't realize when we first came, I didn't realize he was the interim pastor, and it was interesting to hear him and just that, how he just enjoyed being with you and how he shared his heart with you. And I just appreciated that. Again, I've appreciated the elders and being, and again, as a pastor and listening, being part of a congregation, I haven't been part of a just sitting for like 20 years. And it was interesting to just sit and listen and just hear, you know, so what do the elders do? Well, they're involved. They're involved and they're helping and they're part of this church, and you see them, you know who they are. And you've heard Rick getting up here and just sharing about, we're looking for God's man. That was one of the things that was so exciting to me, because you could go in all kinds of directions and you could think, oh, well, he's the one, whatever. But to wait for God's man, that's not easy. That is not easy to do. But I've appreciated that about this church and the fact that you've been asked to pray for that person. So, what did I do?
So right now we have the scripture up. Do you want your
Yeah, there we go. Good. So one of the things when we first got here was this idea of, so what brings you here? So Kate and I were kind of not used to that, because in New Jersey, we call it the turnstile state. You just kind of, people come and go all the time. Here, though, people are asking, so what brings you here? We went to the bank. They're like, huh, you were, you know, from New Jersey. We went to Duncannon Supply, and even Jason was a guy who was there, and he's like, so why are you here? So I was like, wow, do people not come to Duncannon? We didn't know what to think. People from Pennsylvania, I guess, move within, but why are you here? So one of the things that's been, again, that's been good as we've been, we were searching for a place to live, and I don't want to jump too much, but as we were searching for a place to live and looking for it, and then looking for a church, one of the things that we felt, because we got to know our neighbors and we got to know other people in the community, and what was exciting was that we were like, we like it here. So maybe we're strange, I don't know. But we were appreciative of the fact that we got to be here. We appreciated kind of the lifestyle, if you will, that's here, the culture that's here. It's different. I go to the bank and it takes me 20 minutes. Kate's like, you should have been like in, out. No. You wind up talking to somebody, it is different, but it's great. It's really neat. So as we get into this, we're gonna be looking a little bit of what brought us here, coming from New Jersey to Pennsylvania, why we're here. But I want to also encourage you, challenge you from this. And I wanna ask you a few questions just simply because it will help you get in your mindset for Psalm 25. So one of those things, or I have three questions to kind of get us started. One of them is, when life is uncertain, when life gets uncertain, when you're facing challenges, or when you simply don't know what to do, what is your first response? Maybe it's to go to God, maybe it's not, maybe you find other things, you try to do it in your own strength, whatever it may be, because I've been there too, even during this year or so. Another one, what are the enemies you face in your life right now? Whether it's internal struggles, external struggles, or those spiritual battles. Last one, have you ever wondered if it's truly possible to know God's will for your life? So that's where we're going. So if you would, before we do that, again, we're going to look at it something else just before Psalm 25, but I'd like to pray, and then we'll look at the decrees of God. So if you would, let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here. And again, just how, if you had asked just a few months ago if that would even be the case, I'd say no. I just thank you for these people in this congregation and just how friendly they are, how loving they are, and how welcoming. Just thank you for how you are at work in us, in them, and in this church. And I look forward, Lord, to seeing what you are going to do. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. So there are three concepts, and this is, again, part of this journey over this past year. We've been asking for direction from God. We didn't know what we were going to be doing. We didn't know where we were going. But one of the things that kept coming up to me is this idea of God, knowing God's will. Can we know God's perfect will? So the answer is, well, Yeah, sometimes. We know what God wants us to do, but sometimes we don't know the big picture, what he is doing. So trying to boil this down, the key to obeying God's directive will is to know and to do what God wants us to do as revealed in his word. He tells us what he wants us to do. We're not going to get into all those things today. We just simply don't have time. But these are some good scriptures if you wanted to look them up. If for some reason you're not able to write everything down, if you're a note taker, you can ask. I can send you the file and you can have all this. But if you think about it, God's perfect will is for the believer and the unbeliever. Everybody, I mean, we're all in this. We are created by him. We are moving in a direction that he has set the course. So all people are involved in this. So the directive will of God refers to God's choice to accomplish certain ends which are in accord with his perfect will. I know that sounds a lot more than what's there, but that's what he's doing. He has a plan that we can be assured of. The next part of this is, next decree of God, is also his permissive will. This affects us a little bit more. His permissive will of God acknowledges that God allows us to make choices, even if they are not always in alignment with his desired outcome. We get to make choices. That's good. That's the freedom that he has given us. We're not robots. We're not programmed. He has given us opportunity to make choices. Some of them can be glorifying to God. Some of them can't. As a believer, you can bring glory to God. As an unbeliever, you can't. But we all have the freedom to do this. And you can, again, there are verses that you can look at. Look at Romans 6, that's not on that one. But remember what was happening with Job in the first chapter of Job. And these other ones are really good. Because God is not slow in his waiting. But he's doing it so that all can come to know him. Problem is, not everybody's going to accept that. Not everyone's going to submit to that. Not everybody's going to go in that direction. But we do, just to kind of give you an example, some of his permissive will, it could be, who are you going to marry? What job are you going to take? What school are you going to go to? What career are you going to have? I mean, tons of choices. And God's saying, make them. Be wise, but make choices. You can go. I mean, if we hadn't ended up here, we would be going, I guess, to another church somewhere. You might be still looking for someone. I may not be it. But we have freedom to choose. And hopefully we make wise decisions that are honoring and pleasing to God. Last one of this, just again, just to think through, is the providence of God. The providence of God describes his continuous action in preserving creation and guiding it toward his intended purposes. He is ensuring that he is involved in it. Protection, presence, provision in our lives. Isn't it awesome to see God at work? Because he is. And again, all believers and unbelievers are affected by this, because God even gives to the unbeliever. So whether you believe in God or not, this is, I think, important. Whether you believe in God or not does not determine whether this is real or not. See, what we're talking about is the truth from God's word. And you're going to have people who don't agree with that. They'd be very aggressive about not agreeing with that. But just by not agreeing doesn't mean it's not true, because God's word is true. God is real. He is alive. He is active. Also, think about it, that we are able to live in the assurance that God is present and active in our lives. It is a continuing relationship. Isn't that awesome? The God of the universe, the God who created it all, wants to have a relationship with each one of us. And again, there are some different verses that you could look at, but just some great verses that tell us about who God is and how he sees us. We need to know and trust that God is active and wants the best for his creation. Although this can be really tough to accept at times. Have you ever been there when God is moving in a direction and you're just not sure? I don't know if this is it. I don't know if I can submit to that. I don't know if, you know, I want that. But what he wants is us to be in sync with him. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we go on. So I got together with Josh for coffee the other day. He shared an analogy with me to kind of give us a visual for this. But he was saying that it's kind of like a cruise ship. We're all on this cruise ship, and God is the captain. God is the one in control. The ship is moving in that direction. Believers, unbelievers, we're all on this cruise ship. It's moving in a direction that he has made. It's taking the course he has directed. And yet on the cruise ship, you can do all kinds of things. You can go play volleyball, you can go on the water slides, you can go eat, you can do all kinds of things, but you have choices to make while you're on the cruise ship. And what's interesting is God has provided all of those on this ship. Throughout the time on the cruise ship, we have choices to make. So let's get into Psalm 25. Because this has been kind of my theme verse or verses in this. And I think it's been good. It's been a comfort to me. It's been a challenge to me. It's been encouraging. So if you're a note taker, there's going to be 4 points. So I'll go over those 4 points. So protect me, O Lord, are going to be with these verses. Prepare me, O Lord, are going to be these next verses. Pardon me, O Lord, and then prosper me, O Lord. And I say that because, so when David wrote this, he used an acrostic. He used from the Hebrew alphabet, there are 22 characters in it. And each one of those characters represented the next verse as he went along. And he did that to help people remember who God is and how he is working and what he is doing. So as we go through this, again, this is David is going to pour out his heart, and he's blending a prayer of deliverance from his enemies, because he had actual physical enemies. And also some in his mind, because we will see that. There's a prayer of forgiveness, prayer of guidance as we go through this. But this has been, in a sense, this has been like the journey we have had over the past year as we have been looking for what God is doing. And do we respond to him? How do we respond to him? Where are we going with this? So let's look at this. So this is the first point here. Protect me, O Lord. This is 1 through 3, then 15 to 22. We can read this. You can read it in your Bible. You can read it off the screen. But he says, O Lord, I give you my life. I trust in you, my God. Do not let me be disgraced or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in you will be disgraced, but disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. And then skip down, so I group these together. So skip down to verse 15. My eyes are always on the Lord, for he rescues me from the traps of my enemies. Turn to me and have mercy, for I am alone in a deep distress. My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all. Feel my pain and my trouble. Forgive all of my sins. In this last part, see how many enemies I have and how viciously they hate me. Protect me. Rescue my life from them. Do not let me be disgraced, for in you I take refuge. May integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you. O God, ransom Israel from all its troubles. Some of the things that David is going through are those struggles, because they're very real. They are after him. He has people who are looking to kill him. But he asks that those enemies would not be allowed to defeat him. So I want you to think about, and if you notice in verse 21, we'll talk about that for a second, but what are those enemies that we may have? Sometimes it's an actual physical person. There could actually be someone who hates you, who is after you. Not typical, hopefully, but that could happen. We also know from Ephesians 6, we did a study through that, that there are powers that we don't see. It says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Who's that? That's Satan and demons. They're real, and they're not wanting what's best for you, for us. And I would also submit to you, sometimes the enemy is our own mind. Sometimes our own mind. I don't believe that Satan or demons have control over our mind, but I do believe that we ourselves struggle. We struggle in this world in what we're to do, how we're to respond to things. Fear, for example, can keep you from doing things. As an individual, as a church, fear equals a lack of trust in God. Now, there's good fear, right? Don't run in the street. That you should fear cars. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that stuff when we don't know what to do, where to go. Do we lack that trust in God? I was thinking about it as well. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life from 1 John 2. That idea that we can get distracted by the things of this world. They can become those enemies that keep us from doing and knowing God's will. For us, that's why I have these up. For us, there was a fear. We didn't have any connections. We didn't have a church. Change. We actually moved twice over the past year. And we didn't know what was going to be happening. So that was definitely a challenge in our minds, for sure. So what was my attitude? What could be your attitude when these things happen? See, we can be like David and having that expectation of God. Like in verse 21, we need to wait on the Lord in those difficult situations. Like David, we need to trust God in those situations. And David turns to God in trust and asks for mercy. He asks for relief from these things, like all of us would. Because life sometimes is a struggle. This next part, take a look at these next verses. Prepare me, O Lord. At first I originally had pilot me, O Lord, but I was like, you know, thinking about how he directs us, guides us. But prepare seems a little bit better. But prepare me, O Lord. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. That's where we need to be. So God, when we're wondering, what is your plan for me? What is your plan for us as a church? What is your plan, Lord? Do we go to him? Do we put our trust in him? Think of it as he guides, as he steers us. David was asking to guide him in the right path, just as we would. That was kind of that main principle that Kate and I had as we would look at this, as we would pray about this. Guide us, direct us in our path. Another verse that's not up here is Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 7. Actually, all of Proverbs 3 is really good, but you could take a look at that on your own. Next part of this verse, jumping down to 8, the Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads them. The humble is doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his covenant and obey his commands. See, he wants good things for us to happen. He uses those bad things when they come to help us to become, put our faith in him to become more like Christ. So what is my attitude to be when these difficulties are coming, when I'm struggling to know which way to go, when I don't know? It's to be humble before God. So that's something that we all need. He is the creator. He is the one in charge. Am I willing to be humble and submit to him? Most of the time. I wish it was more often, but there are definitely those times when I don't want to wait. I don't want to trust. I'd rather not be humble. But that's what we need to do. And I would say particularly over this last year, I put together a timeline. This is a brief timeline. There are a lot of other decisions that came about while we were doing this. But this is some basic details from that, from moving from New Jersey, because I was pastoring a church in New Jersey, but to let them know that we were going to be leaving. Very difficult decision. Had been there over 16 years, had a lot of good friends, still have a lot of good friends. But it was time for us to go. Put our house on the market, we sold it, so move. Where are we going to go? Pennsylvania. Why? Because Julia and Mike are here. They're in the back. And as we were talking about this morning in the Sunday school hour, you know, Julia had asked us to be within 30 minutes. So that was good. Also, it was also here, John, our other son, and his wife, Lindsay, they're moving back to this area. So they're like, okay, so we're going to move here in this 30-minute circumference of Julia. We wound up moving to Red Lion. That was relatively close. That worked for us. But while we were doing that, we were still looking for a home. Because that was just temporary. We knew that was going to be temporary. So then we wound up looking. We found a place. Our realtor found a place in Duncannon. Where's Duncannon? Truly. It was like, I mean, the only thing that I knew of is the Appalachian Trail. And I didn't realize that Duncannon was about halfway. It's like, huh, that's interesting. Didn't know that. Had hiked it, but didn't realize we were more north. The other part is once we found a place to be, then we were looking for a church to attend. So again, maybe that's a little bit backwards, but that's what we were looking for. We were looking for a place to live. And we found that. And again, all the different parts that are connected with that. Some people here in this church, even when we went to go pay taxes, we got to meet people from your church. It's like, hey, where do you go to church? New Buffalo. No way. We just started going there. Truly. And then to find out, you know, Avis and Vern, sorry, you know, like, that's where he grew up. The house we live in is where they grew up, where he grew up. I mean, how cool is that? They have pictures from when, from the house from years ago. So here we are. So then we got together with Rick and Christine Simmons. We were talking to them because we wanted to know what kind of doctrine, what are you guys all about in the CMA? What, I mean, because I'm not part of the CMA, but I wanted to know, what is this about? What are you guys about? So we spent time with them. We actually got together a second time because the first time wasn't enough. But it was good. We got to know them. They got to know us. And again, we saw then one of those things, because we had looked at other churches. We didn't find one. We were looking for, but we saw New Buffalo as we were going to get a vanity, as we were going north on 11 and 15. That's how we saw you guys. We didn't know you were here. Actually, we had never been on 11, 15. Found out it was, we attended, saw it on, we watched online, attended. It seemed like a solid church. We saw that there were pastoral candidates. We kept on a down low that I was a pastor, because we weren't here for me to be a pastor. We were here to come and worship. We were here to be part of the congregation. We were wanted to be part of this group. So we actually became members. We actually got ID'd and all that kind of stuff so we can work with kids and all that, because we came here, we wanted to serve. We missed that. We hadn't had that for a year, and we missed it. So then as things kept going, when things didn't work out with the previous candidate, then I was like, it's obedience to at least find out, is this something that we can do? And we went through this whole process. Nate Howard was here. He preached here a few weeks ago. Another guy, Alan Rathbun, has been around, and it's been great to get to know them a little bit. But that's what we were trying to do. And as we were waiting and asking God, where do you want us to go? And it just kept, took a little time, didn't know what was gonna happen, but it kept working. And here we are. And we felt like this church was a good fit for us to come and to worship. And here it is, it's a good church maybe to pastor at. It'd be a good fit. See, this is not coincidence. This is one of those things Rick and I have been going back and forth. It's not a coincidence, it's the Holy Spirit leading. I don't know. Where's Duncannon? I don't know. And yet here we are. Last couple of things, we'll run through it. I think I'm getting close to time. But think of it with this, pardon me, O Lord, because one of those things, and you can read the verses that are up here, there are those times, forgive me in my unbelief, because there are going to be times when we just don't trust God. That's what it comes down to. Forgive me for my unbelief. And isn't it amazing that we have a God that is willing to forgive us and get us back on the right path? See, do you remember those times when you were younger, when you were immature, when you didn't know what to do or how to respond, and yet he is still there? A couple of verses that you could look at if you wanted to. Our 1 Corinthians 10:13, 1 John 1:9, he is willing to forgive us our sins as we ask, which is amazing. When we choose poorly, he is still there. Why did David ask for forgiveness? In this, he says, to honor your name. To honor your name, Lord. I've tarnished your name with my lack of faith, my unbelief. And he's saying, forgive me. See, his desires, he wants us to make those choices that are glorifying to him. So when this happens, are we willing to be humble? Are we willing to humble ourselves and submit to God and his ways and follow? Last one, to prosper us. Prosper me, O Lord. And this may not seem like what, you know, maybe we would hope it to be. And again, you can read some of these. Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose. Isn't that awesome? He did it for David. He is going to do it for us. And you can look at some of the, again, you can keep reading down there. But as we prosper me, O God, asserts that God blesses those who fear him. What does it mean to prosper in God's eyes? It does not necessarily mean more money. It doesn't mean I'm going to hit the lottery. It doesn't mean I'm going to have a higher status. It doesn't mean I get what I want. Sometimes it works that way. What does it mean is very different in God's eyes. He wants us to grow in faith and trust and mature in him. He wants us to become more Christ-like. He wants us to develop this characteristic in our lives. So these difficulties come, and as we turn to him and we keep our trust in him, he helps us mature. It's kind of neat. But we need those things. We need even these difficulties. And God will use them. So what is my attitude to be when we're trying to figure out, okay, I want to glorify you with my life. I'm in awe of you, God. But there is this idea of reverence for him. A reverence for him. There is an awe, a fear. It's a healthy fear. It's a good, it's a respect. It's a reverence of God, our creator. I don't know if you saw the stars last night. So again, this is one of those cool things. Here, I'm like, wow, look at all the stars. This is great. It was, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, ooh, it's dark. And you're looking at it. And I'm like, this is amazing. See, when it comes to the word fear, what do you think? What would be your definition of fear? But when we look at fear in English, there is no word that conveys that this aspect of the word fear. There's a meaning that's included when it comes to God. There's a worshipful submission. There is a reverential awe and obedient respect to God. I want to share, so David created this acrostic for when he wrote this. I want to give you something else, an acronym that you can help you remember what it is that God wants us to do, even when we don't know what to do. He wants us to be fat. We could tailor that, maybe we could work on that. But think about it. He wants us to be faithful. No matter what is going on, or am I willing to be faithful? If I don't know what's going on, am I willing to be faithful? The other thing is, and this is kind of where we have, are you willing to be available to God and what he is doing, what he wants for your life? And again, sometimes, hopefully more times, do I have this teachable spirit? Am I willing to listen to him? Am I willing to take it even when I may not like it? David confidently turned to the Lord for divine instruction and forgiveness from his iniquity because of God's great mercy. See, that's what he kept going back to. Look at who God is. Look at the character of God. And that prompts this humbleness to respond and confess in prayer. Why is it that we learn some of the most valuable spiritual lessons in the midst of trials and difficulties? Why? Because we need those situations to stop trusting ourselves and what we have and who we are and what we want and who we know, right? He wants us to trust in him. And this has to do with being faithful, available, teachable. This is part of sanctification for our life. This is what God wants in each of us, to grow in him, to mature in him, to have the mind of Christ. Some things just as you to think about in way of application, to ponder the principles of Psalm 25. This has been great, by the way, over the last year, to like keep working through this in my mind. This is great. But have you ever felt overwhelmed and desperate for God's protection? Do you ever feel under attack? Under that prepare me, God, how often do you feel uncertain about the path you should take? God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What are those things you want for my life? Are there areas in your life where you desperately need guidance from God? Again, if you want some of these, I can send these to you or give these to you at another point. Send out an email or something. Pardon me, when you look back at your life, what are some of the sins of your youth? I mean, think about that. What are those things when you were immature and didn't know which way to go, but you made a choice and they weren't, you know, you chose poorly. And yet God is still there and he's willing to forgive and he's still the same God. Prosper me. What does prosperity mean to you? And is it what God talks about? Is it the same definition that God has? Maybe, maybe not. So what brings you here? So I believe God has led us to this place. No matter what happens, I believe God has led us to this place. We've bought in, we have a house where it's ours, we're here. This is where we want to spend this next season of our life. That's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to seeing what God is going to do. And we can learn, we can learn from David with this and how he, in Psalm 25, was learning from God and growing in him, trusting him.